Well, friends, we now commence with the last area in intellectual property rights, which is called the Copyright Act of 1957. You may be aware that with the pace at which technology is moving, thanks to lithophotography, there was an urgent need to protect the rights of all authors, original creators, artists, and all publishers, producers. So therefore, there was an immediate need to protect the creative rights, which we in our language call it as a property, which is an asset of one's own creation. This sense of imagination made it very necessary to introduce the act called the Copyright Act. WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, entered into two treatise agreements, which is agreements entered into between two states, which was called WCT, the World Copyright Treaty, and WPPO, the World Performances and Phonograms. Phonograms is record player, my friends. Treaty, wherein this right was sought to be initially protected. And therefore, we had a right called the Copyright Act of 1911. Thereafter, it was repealed, it was removed, and replaced with the Indian Copyright Act of 1957. There have been amendments, my friends, thereafter in 93, 94. And the latest has been in 2012. We now move into the Copyright Act 1957. Copyright. It means the exclusive right to do or authorize the doing of any of the following acts in respect of any work or any substantial part thereof, namely, in the case of a literary, dramatic or musical work not being a computer program, in the case of a computer program, in the case of an artistic work, in the case of a cinematograph film, in the case of a sound recording. Well, friends, before I move down to this area, I would like to inform you about five very important, crucial areas on copyright. First and foremost, it is a statute. What is a statute? It is a written law in the field of literary works, dramatic works, sound recording, as well as artistic works. So, it is indeed a statute. The second most important aspect, it is not the expression or the mere rendering of an idea, but its actual expression in the form of a play or a cinema. What am I trying to convey here? I take a very simple case study of R.G. Anand versus Deluxe Films. R.G. Anand was a playwright who had taken a play very long time back called Saath Hindustani. He had a very dear friend called Dilip. He just mentioned an idea that I would like to make the Saath Hindustani into a film. Dilip, his friend, took this idea and made a picture called New Delhi. Well, my friends, question arises, can my playwriter file a case that it is a copied work which is there in the cinema? No, sorry. Here, what is required as far as copyright is concerned is, Saath Hindustani, which was a play, had no copyright. So, the idea which is simply mentioned to another person, and therefore the latter makes it into a film, you cannot say there is an infringement of a right because it is not copyrighted. And therefore, if you are taking Karan Johar as a very simple example, when he took two states, you would know that he had taken this from a book of Chetan Bhagat. And he entered into an agreement with Chetan Bhagat, stating that this story, I am taking it from your literary work, for which Chetan Bhagat was paid a compensation or consideration. So this is where copyright comes into the picture, because it's the expression of an idea into a cinema, wherein if it is copyrighted, and that is where every author felt it was extremely necessary to have this as a creative right which is registered in his name. So therefore, it is this expression of an idea which is made into a film or a sound recording, for which if you copy, you reproduce, you translate, there is an infringement, there is a violation of this right. Thirdly, it is today registered. Previously, we were not very keen on registration. Now, thanks to technology, the computer area, whereby with the advancement, thanks to piracy, plagiarism, etc., whereby in all international works, copying and kidnapping somebody's creativity has been rampant, it was felt very necessary that it had to be registered with a mark C encircled, which we do for other areas like trademarks and patents. Fourthly, it is the originality. Now, my friends, you will know that we have many common sources. It could be a historical fact, it could be an economic fact, it could be a social fact, it could be any political fact for that matter, which is taken from a magazine, which is taken from a periodical, or the source of the internet. Now, all these are fictions. These are historical facts. But it is the creativity which is most important. Have you come across, just about 3 weeks back, with Sanjay Leela Bansali, in an area wherein he's making a film called Padmavati. And there was vandalism, there was stone throwing in the studios, whereby they said there is a distortion of facts with Alauddin Khilji. Now, as far as Sanjay Leela Bansali is concerned, he has made Bajirao Mastani in an earlier area wherein the Maratha had a lot of problems, wherein they said it's a distorted version. Now, you take sources from various areas, but how do you project it in your cinema is the creativity. And therefore, there cannot be any kind of cases which are filed wherein facts can be interpreted in any kind of format according to the producer of the film. So therefore, here is where originality comes into the picture. Lastly, what are the rights that I enjoy? I enjoy a right whereby if this right of mine is sought to be snatched out, I have a right to file a case in a civil court whereby I restrain the person, which is called as an injunction. I have a criminal remedy. I have an administrative remedy whereby the prints, the plates, the blocks, the negatives can also be confiscated if I find that somebody takes away my right. So this is where I enjoy a moral right, an economic right. I am not only sought to be remunerated, I get the compensation. If I give a license, I get, obviously, the consideration when I grant this rights to somebody else, and therefore, the licensee is in a position to enjoy my rights under copyright. Now, when I come to this area, I would now like to proceed on the various areas on literary fields. Before I go down to the owner of the copyright, where are these works in which it is there? Firstly, literary. Now, when I say literary works, what does it mean? It means storybooks, it means novels, it means poems, it means the computer files, the database, which is also included in this area. It could be a reproduction by way of a small handbook, by the author myself, for example. It could be translation from one language to another. It could be an adaptation. What do you mean by an adaptation? Conversion of the story into a drama, or a drama into a story. Abridgment. Abridgment means concise format. Today you have comic books like Jungle Book. You have picture formats whereby a film like Dangal, a film like obviously Chak De India or whatever, has been made into a small picture format, which is also possible in the field of literature. Now we come to drama. It means an enactment. It is a notation as regards a play, which also comes in the field of copyright. We have artistic works, painting, sculpting, engraving. Any work of architecture, the construction of a building also is there. Any advertising, posters are all artistic works. We now come, obviously, to cinematography. It is the video come sound recording, whereby the producer today is in a position to have the exclusive rights, but what is spoken, what is sung, or what is performed is not copyrighted. So here is an area wherein, in a sound recording as well, it is a musical works, it is a composer who is in a position to have the notation done, and then he grants the license to the sound recordist, wherein he is in a position to have this on a commercial basis. So this is in brief what is the area on the scope or the subject matter of copyright. We now move into the owner of copyright. It means it shall include an exclusive licensee. In the case of an anonymous or a pseudonymous, now what do you mean by anonymous? A person doesn't reveal his name in public. He writes a book, but he doesn't want to reveal his name. And therefore, when the name is not publicly known, it is called anonymous. Pseudonymous, he writes it under a false name. My name is Dilip, but I put it as Mr. Y, or I write it under a name or a fictional entity called Ram. It becomes pseudonymous. In such works, dramatic, musical, artistic works, it is always the publisher of the work who will be the first owner of the copyright. So, my dear friends, you will know that here what happens is the author is in a position to give his complete rights for a remuneration, which is a lump sum amount of money that the publisher is giving the author. And therefore, the publisher says, the copyright acts are entirely with me. So this is for a lump sum remuneration, or it may be by way of a royalty, that is an agreement between the author and the publisher. So the publisher of the work, until the identity of the author is disclosed. The meaning of authorized acts. Now, all authorized acts are those acts in which the author is the exclusive owner of his own work. What is his authority? Now, as far as any literary, as far as any dramatic works are concerned, further in computer programs, the person who is actually feeding the material and the work is one of his own is called the author of the work. If you are saying in the field of music, definitely the man who makes the notation, the person who is in charge of writing down and giving a graphic notation is the composer. Then we have artistic works wherein it is the artist. In the case of photography, the man who takes the photograph has the original ownership of that copyright. So these are some of the works in which the authorization or the entity covers in the field of copyright. Works in which copyright subsists. Definitely, as far as these works are concerned, now coming to sound recording, definitely, it is not only the music composer, but also in the capacity of the area wherein the producer of that recording also has the copyright. Similarly, in a video recording, it is not only the moving pictures as well as the sound, but the person who is in the position of taking those records wherein he is the man who enjoys the copyright. So for which, as far as sound recording is concerned, the details are required to be given to the registrar at the copyright office, wherein the name and address of the sound recordist, the name and address of the owner of the copyright, the music composer, as well as the date of publication is required to be revealed for the purposes of enjoying authorization acts. As far as video films or cinematography in our language that we call, it is the certification by the Board of Film Authority which is an important requirement. The person who is taking the picture, obviously, here is my producer. The owner of the area as far as cinematography is concerned, so that the licensee takes the license and he is able to give a declaration that I have enjoyed licensing rights from the owner, which is required as far as copyright is concerned. In the case of literary, dramatic or artistic works made by the author in the course of employment by the proprietor of the news magazine or a similar periodical under a contract of service or apprenticeship. Now, well, friends, I have just to mention it to you here. I have two types of service contracts. One is a contract of service. One is a contract for service. Do you understand the difference between the two terminologies? A very simple illustration that I can now put forward to you is that I am an employer and you are an employee, right? Now, the relationship between me and you is that of a master and servant, wherein you work for me. And therefore, when you work for me or you work under me, there is a contract of service wherein you are the employee and I am the employer and I ask you to do this according to my instructions. So when it is my instructions, it is the master dictating the orders to the servant, that is the employee, and the employee simply does what is required. So what happens is, in a contract of employment, it is always the employer who is the owner of the copyright. So therefore, if you are taking a newspaper, now what happens is, in this newspaper or magazine, there could be n amount of journalists. Now, is the journalist a person on the payroll or on the muster? He becomes an employee, wherein the copyright is not that of the journalist, it belongs to the employer. Now, am I a freelancer? I'm not an employee of the periodical proprietor. In the capacity of a freelancer, I'm given a remuneration. So it's a contract for service. It's like a contractor. Now, what is the difference between a contractor and an employer? The employer tells the contractor, okay, I am taking you on hire basis. On hire, I'll give you an N amount of remuneration and this is where will be the deal between you and me, wherein I will be having the area to give you a percentage of my resources so that, now in this case, when I'm not an employee, I, the said person, will enjoy the employee, as you may call it, or the independent contractor enjoys the copyright, not the employer. So, am I on a payroll or am I in an independent capacity is the difference between contract of service and contract for services, which we are required to know when we look up as far as ownership of copyright is concerned, which is a very, very important enlightenment. Apprentice. Now, an apprentice is only a trainee. He is not a regular worker on the payroll. So, sometimes a trainee may be on a payroll for a particular period of time. So in this payroll, or obviously when he is getting a stipend, this apprentice in the capacity of a trainee does any work for the proprietor. The apprentice does not enjoy copyright entitlements. It belongs to the employer who has employed this apprentice. So we have to understand this, friends, that as far as the employee or the apprentice is concerned, here it will always be the proprietor who is regarded as the owner of the copyright. In the case of a work made under the course of the author's employment, it is always the employer who shall be the first owner. In the case of a photograph taken, or a painting, or a portrait drawn, or an engraving, or a cinematograph film, for value or consideration, such persons shall be the first owner. Now, these are all people in an independent capacity. So whether they take a photograph, whether they take any kind of artistic works, these are authors, these are owners who are not in any course of employment, and therefore they all enjoy copyright entitlements or ownership rights in their exclusive capacity. In the case of any address or speech delivered in public, the person who has delivered such speech will be the first owner of the copyright. In the case of a government work, government shall, in the absence of any agreement to the contrary, be the first owner. That is, now when we say government or public sector, what do we exactly mean? Government includes the central or state government. A public sector undertaking could be a public utility service like a statutory corporation, if I am to go into the field of company law, wherein a company established under a separate statute or any act of the legislature is called as a statutory company, which is called as a public sector. Now, these public sectors, when they employ artists or they employ any kind of authors in their payroll, it is always the government, it is always the public sector who shall be regarded as the owner of the copyright. In the case of a work made or first published by or under the direction or control of any public undertaking, such a public undertaking shall be the first owner. In the case of a work of an international organization, the international organization concerned shall be the first copyright therein. We come to an area. Now, before I go down to assignment, I would like to just give you a glimpse of what are the conditions as far as copyright is concerned. As far as copyright is concerned, for any works which are published in India, it is absolutely essential that the person or the author should be a citizen of India. If it is a work which is published outside India, definitely the author should have been a person who is a citizen of India before the work is published. So, as far as architecture is concerned, the place where the architectural area or painting is created should be one which is located in India. So, this is essentially for all works. Now, supposing we have publishing which is done simultaneously in India as well as outside, there should not be a gap of more than 30 days or 1 month as far as publication is concerned. We now come into the area of assignment of copyright. What do you mean by assignment? I transfer my right unto a person who is called as the assignee. Now, friends, transmission. When a person dies, when he is no more, when he is deceased, the rights devolve by operation of law, and that is called transmission. So this is the difference between assignment and transmission. So assignment is an act of transfer which is done by the author himself. When the author, when the composer, when the producer dies, it devolves on the legal representatives, or the rights go to the legal heirs, that is the spouse or the child, as the case may be, is called an area of transmission. Now, what we undertake here is an area of assignment. So an assignment is one wherein the Copyright Act is sought to be transferred from the assigner unto the assignee. Let us now proceed into the various intricacies of assignment. When assignment not permissible, now I will just tell you as to what are the important areas for assignment. When I assign this right, obviously, it is a license given by me unto the licensee. So, this has to be by way of a deed. Now, what is a deed? It is a written agreement between me, the assigner, and the assignee, indicating what are the rights in which the assignee will enjoy, what is the territorial limit or the geographical area over which he can assign his rights. And this, essentially, if the period is not mentioned, is normally for a period of 5 years that the assignment takes place. The mode of assignment, the assignee of a copyright shall be treated as the owner of the copyright, and when the period is not stated, it is deemed to be 5 years. Lapsing, what do you mean by lapse? It means the term expires, wherein it comes to an end or there is a termination. We call it as lapsing of the assignment. When the assignee does not exercise the rights assigned to him within a period of 1 year from the date of assignment, the assignment shall be deemed to have expired after the period of 1 year. So, Mr. Assignee, whatever rights you need to be enjoying, it has to be done immediately, failing which, once it lapses, it is difficult that it cannot be revived. So, therefore, any kind of assignment is required to be done with immediate effect. Thank you very much, my friends. We have now indeed understood the area of copyright. We have understood the works in which copyright exists. The area as far as ownership of copyright is concerned, which gives a thorough area or scope as far as all authors, all composers of musical works, as well as all artists who are in a position to enjoy exclusive rights. Thank you.